This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and it's time again for Popit Popit Parliament, where we take you through updates from the Day One Rakyat. So we're starting off today with a question that was asked by the MP of Jelutong, RSN Raya, about the MPs who attended the gathering in support of Datuk Sri Najib Razak outside the KL High Court yesterday. So he asked if there was a need for those MPs to undergo a quarantine, given that not everyone was wearing face masks and physical distancing was not observed. Here is a snippet of the MP with his question.
Pengarah Kesihatan telah mengeluarkan kenyataan atas kehampaan beliau tentang perhimpunan beramai-ramai yang boleh menyebabkan satu lagi kluster. Walaupun telah dinasihatkan oleh Menteri Pertahanan sendiri, lebih kurang 1,000-3,000 orang telah berkumpul di sana.
Apa soalannya?
Saya
soalan
cuma risau.
Apa, peraturan mana?
Yang Berhormat Pontian.
Saya ada, betul.
Yang Berhormat Baling. Okay. Beberapa Yang Berhormat di sebelah sana berada dalam perhimpunan tersebut tanpa memakai face mask. Saya telah tanya berkenaan dengan perkara ini dan saya telah memohon petua sama ada mereka perlu dikuarantinkan kerana kami sekarang didedahkan kepada...
Okay.
Kami didedahkan.
Boleh...
Ini adalah perkara penting kerana rakyat di luar sana, kemarin saya pergi ke kedai kopi, mereka tanya saya, is this the rule which only applies to ordinary citizens? What about the members of parliament from the government bench?
Okay.
So, Speaker Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun then replied to YB Raya, saying that the Dewan Rakyat has no power to regulate the behaviour of MPs outside of parliament.
Terima kasih, Yang Berhormat. Sebenarnya, saya pun ada nampaklah dalam berita dan sebagainya. Tetapi kita pun tidak tahu sama ada orang ramai yang berkumpul semalam tu semuanya ada COVID. Jadi kita pun tidak tahu kalau ada orang yang berkovid di situ, mereka sudah menjangkiti ahli-ahli Yang Berhormat yang hadir bersama-sama mereka pada semalam tu. Jadi kita tidak ada kuasa untuk menghalang pergerakan Yang Berhormat di luar dewan dan sebagainya. Saya rasa selagi tidak dibuktikan bahawa mereka mempunyai gejala COVID, maka kita tidak boleh menghalang mereka daripada masuk ke dewan ni. Tapi saya selalu menekankan bahawa pada setiap masa ahli-ahli Yang Berhormat, saya minta dan saya nasihatkan agar mematuhi SOP COVID-19
ni. Terima kasih, Tuan Speaker.
Terima kasih.
Dan ini adalah perkara penting, nasihat Tuan Speaker, kepimpinan melalui tauladan. Kalau mereka tak patuhi,
sila duduk.
Tak adil kita paksa rakyat patuhi.
So that was Speaker Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun saying that as long as the MPs are not shown to be COVID-19 positive, they can't be prevented from attending the Dewan Rakyat proceedings. Earlier, we heard the question from Jelutong MP RSN Raya. Do you have any thoughts on this issue, on whether or not there should be any sort of control for MPs, especially when it comes to exposing themselves to situations like that? Or for that matter, on what we just heard right at the end from YB Raya about how perhaps MPs should be leading by example when it comes to COVID-19 and practicing the SOPs. You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So there was also a question today on the petrol subsidy program, which was announced by the previous Pakatan Harapan government back in October last year. Its implementation has been delayed since, and today the Deputy Minister of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs, Datuk Rosol Wahid, told the Dewan Rakyat that the government will not proceed with the programme. Among the reasons are the price difference in petrol between Peninsula and East Malaysia, and also concerns that the implementation of the subsidy card will lead to confusion. Here's the Deputy Minister.
Sebab-sebab tidak dilaksanakan, yang pertama ialah untuk mengelak salah faham di kalangan penduduk Sabah, Sarawak, wilayah Persekutuan Labuan, kerana hanya penduduk Semenanjung saja yang terlibat dengan program subsidi ini, dan untuk mengelak daripada berlakunya jurang harga petrol yang tinggi antara Semenanjung serta Sabah dan Sarawak dan Labuan. Dan bagi kelompok N40, mereka hanya akan menikmati potongan harga semasa mengisi petrol di stesen minyak kerana mereka diberi kad minyak subsidi. Ini boleh menimbulkan keraguan dan juga dalam kalangan rakyat berkenaan dengan ketelusan dan juga dalam pemberian subsidi ini. Terima kasih, Yang Berhormat.
That was Deputy Minister of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs, Datuk Rosul Wahid, talking about the petrol subsidy scheme that now is not going to be introduced. He also said that the government will be looking into other forms of support for the people outside of this subsidy scheme, given that the e-hailing sector has been a source of employment, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, moving on from that, there were some updates when it comes to guidelines for flexible work arrangements. So the Deputy Minister of Human Resources, Awang Solahuddin, said that the government is in the midst of revising guidelines for workplaces to meet current international labour standards. And these efforts include streamlining work flexibility in line with the demands of the new normal due to COVID-19. Here's the Deputy Minister with more.
Dalam memperkemaskan pelaksanaan waktu kerja yang lebih fleksibel, dalam membantu pekerja mendapat bayaran gaji yang setimpal, Kementerian Sumber Manusia juga bercadang untuk mewujudkan peruntukan baharu berhubung flexible working arrangement di bawah Akta 1955 bersesuaian sekali dengan pasca COVID-19 ini. Untuk makluman ahli-ahli Dewan Yang Mulia ini, peruntukan ini akan memperincikan berhubung permintaan bertulis daripada pekerja kepada majikan nya untuk mengubah terma dan syarat pekerjaan pekerja berhubungan dengan fleksibiliti kerja pekerja berkenaan. Ini termasuklah jam kerja atau hari kerja dan tempat pekerjaan yang mengikut syarat-syarat tertentu yang dipersetujui oleh kedua-dua pihak, iaitu majikan dan pekerja. Ini secara tidak langsung dapat mengurangkan kos perbelanjaan seseorang pekerja dalam menjalankan tugasnya.
So that was the Deputy Minister of Human Resources, Awang Solahuddin, talking about efforts to streamline flexible work, including guidelines to ensure adequate pay and involving both employer and employee in discussions about time and place of work. And with a lot of us having had work from home arrangements or flexible work arrangements in the last few months or so, I think in light of the MCO and so on, I'm just curious to know, what are the concerns that you would like to highlight at this point in time, right? So in the last few months, have you found it smooth sailing, or are there certain things that have come up? We do have a Twitter poll running at the moment, which is asking this very question. And so far, overwhelmingly, 48.3% of the respondents are saying that their main concerns are salary reductions, because I think there has been some talk of that, with, you know, say you work 4 days and then you get that reduction of a 1 day a week. On the other hand, 18.3% say productivity, while 5% are worried when it comes to putting trust in their colleagues. But 28.8% also say that they have no concerns and it's been great. So let us know what your experiences have been like and what are some of the main things that have cropped up in this time. Again, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, coming back to the Deputy Minister of Human Resources, he also gave us some updates on the situation regarding foreign workers, saying that foreign workers can now only be employed in 3 specific sectors, which include the construction, plantation and agricultural sectors. And this is meant to encourage the recruitment of more local workers within other areas.
Kementerian dan juga kerajaan telah membuat keputusan untuk menetapkan 3 sektor. Yang lain-lain sektor, iaitu sektor pembinaan, sektor pertanian dan juga sektor peladangan. Hanya sektor ini sahaja dan juga sektor pertanian yang hanya boleh menggunakan pekerja asing selepas ini. Lain-lain sektor kita akan mengisi pekerja-pekerja tempatan, iaitu local workers. Inilah dengan izin yang kita telah membuat satu garis panduan sebagai dasar untuk kita mengurangkan pekerja-pekerja asing.
Again, that was the Deputy Minister of Human Resources, Awang Solahuddin. Now, moving on, Deputy Works Minister Edin Shazlishith told the Dewan Rakyat today that the government has achieved the zero pothole target for federal roads. And he said that this was a target that was set way back in 2016. And here's the Deputy Minister talking about the programs that were put in place in order to meet this.
Di bawah program Zero Potholes, kerja-kerja penamparan jalan berlubang akan dilaksanakan dalam tempoh 24 jam secara sementara daripada penemuan ataupun aduan kerosakan, dan dalam tempoh 3 hari bagi pembaikan kekal. Tuan Yang Dipertua, pihak JKR juga telah membangunkan satu sistem aplikasi pemantauan potholes. Aplikasi ini boleh digunakan oleh pegawai-pegawai JKR dan juga syarikat konsesi untuk tujuan pemantauan kewujudan potholes di Jalan Persekutuan.
That was the Deputy Works Minister, Edin Shazlishith. He added that the government has extended the zero potholes target to Sabah and Sarawak as well. Now, one last update before we wrap today's segment. Klang MP Charles Santiago held a press conference today to talk about remdesivir, which is a drug that's been shown to speed up recovery from COVID-19. Now, he said that the government should grant a compulsory license to buy generic versions of the drug because generic ones would cost a fraction of the original version. According to the MP, the remdesivir treatment currently costs between 10 to 13,000 ringgit per person in Malaysia. Here's YB Charles Santiago making his point.
Another way of doing that is actually by using what we call compulsory licensing. Compulsory licensing is part of the vocabulary of the World Trade Organization, specifically under the TRIPS Agreement, Trade and Intellectual Property Rights. And Malaysia is a member or it's a signatory of the TRIPS Agreement. However, if a country is facing pandemic, if a country is facing a crisis, then we can use what we call government use. There is a section in the TRIPS agreement called government use, which allows you to import the generic version. Now, the generic version is being produced in Pakistan as well as in India. So Malaysia now can import from them. I mean, can you imagine four people in a poor family are sick and they use remdesivir? It will be 40,000 Malaysian ringgit. But if you bring the generic version, the cheaper version, it's the same effectiveness, it will be far more cheaper. So I think Malaysia should not be scared. Malaysia should now start the negotiations with the WTO in order bring in the medicine from either India or Pakistan, but generic version.
That was Klang MP Charles Santiago calling for the government to start negotiations to bring in generic versions of remdesivir for COVID-19 treatment. And that's all we have today for Popit Popit Parliament. And we've covered a number of issues, including flexible work arrangements. And we want to hear what are your main concerns as the government looks to iron out regulations surrounding this. What would you like to highlight in the last few months of having done this? Assuming that you have, I think a lot of us have been doing that. We've also discussed limits on sectors that can hire foreign workers, quarantine for MPs, particularly those who participated, for example, in the courthouse scrum that we saw yesterday, as well as zero potholes. If you have any thoughts to share on any of these things, you can get in touch. Please do. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.